This morning I'm turning to Proverbs chapter 23. I'll read verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And this morning, we are thinking about God's reasonable request, or simply a reasonable request, which this verse calls us to. And okay, that's what we want to think about this morning, a reasonable request from the creator of the universe. And that my son, normally in the proverb, whenever I hear my son, is to all humankind, both man and woman. And whatever counsels it gives us, as we say, the book of wisdom gives us many, many counsels. And whichever counsel we learn from it, the greatest part is the spiritual part, which touches our soul. There are so many moral lessons in the book of Proverbs. But then, each moral lesson has its spiritual lessons also. And that is what is so much our greatest concern. But our work this morning will be more of the first part. My son, give me thy heart. That's what we concentrate this morning. And you know, this text directs us to God's demands for sincerity. That's what the first it is calling us, God's demands for sincerity. I'm sure everyone who has gathered this morning and who always comes to worship somehow has an idea that God is his God. He doesn't deny that there's God and that he's trying to worship him, whether we know him or not. And yet this God we all know says we should give him our heart. And this is a demand for sincerity. Whenever we hear of heart, it's talking about sincerity. As we know, in normal life, a person is said to be sincere when he employs the whole of his heart to whatever work he does. Whatever job you do, you will say you are so sincere to your work when you do it with your full heart, with your full desire, with your full aims, so that you get something out of it. So that is it. So there's a request for sincerity before God as we seek to worship, as we seek to know him. The Ekani said, Sir, Asem Kakaya, I'll say, me back, come on, mommy, and Yankupono, or beside them, because we be around over a half so Babas, when you said, Obia, because Yankupon and Yankupon, or Banabas, we see a new Lucy and Nimro Prano, and we'll be able to see Yankupon and Yankupon. And I make us a sir, Asem way, say any against Yankupon and Yankupon. Or pray, or say, you know, a dim ye. Oh, fine, I'll say, dear, come on, man. Now, first, like I say, come on, man, I should say, or say, a bayon, you know, be there, or say, any double, and say, a katakata be the answer. And no, sin our budget, the emperor, come on, man, because I come on, I be the owl. There, there, no man, no, the bean, no more, a busy, a warning, I go on. So, God asked for sincerity in our desire to have him as our God. As we desire to have as our God, he also asks for us sincerity. Is it not a fair request? We want him to be our God, and he asks us what will make him to be our God. It's fair. We cannot decide. He decides, and he demands our heart. He wants us to come in fullness. You know, it is true. You will never even know God's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a true spiritual life, if it is not by your heart. If you do not seek him by your heart, you can never know his forgiveness. Even third year can say, you see, every young woman, you've been wounded, one of the patches, and you me, So it's our heart. It's a very important thing. So ask the request, say, give me thy heart. My son, give me thy heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. We will not deal with the second part, but just to give a small note on that. Until, we can never seek to know the ways of God until our heart has been given to him. But people normally do the opposite way. They seek to find, seek God, and yet keep their heart. That's what many people do. And it's very sad. Until we have given him our heart, whatever we seek to do, whatever commandment we seek to obey from his word, whatever principle we draw, it can help us in life, but we have never given ourselves to him. It will not take us anywhere. So the heart first, and his way second. So what is meant by the heart? In the Bible, the heart is used to represent the inner being that regulates a person. The heart comprises all the abilities of the motives, the desires, and the will. As in the same chapter in verse 7, we are told that for us he thinketh in his heart, so he sees. As a man thinketh, so he sees. You can never do anything except the thing that you think about, the thing that is in your heart. So you see, somebody does a bad thing, it's not that he just is in his heart. If you do a good thing, it's in his heart. So as a man thinking, so is whatever motives or reason that drives him to do anything, it's in the heart. And that is where, that is the person. So that the longings or the pains of a person's heart determines who the person is. Whatever, even in normal life, whatever I'll be in life, is what is in my heart. How I want to, only that, as we say, man proposes, God disposes. We can put everything in our heart. God can change it so that we cannot even fulfill our enterprise. But at least, whatever we are able to do, is what is in our heart. So, in the Proverbs, wisdom, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, in Proverbs, for wisdom, his counsels in Proverbs 4:23 said that keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Also, so we now cry now. See, so the Bible repeatedly tells us the how important is our inner energy, inner drive that moves us to do things. So it is fair that God asks us to give him our heart, because whatever we can do for him, if our heart is not with him, or it has not been given him, it's not real. It's a heart that can really be able to do anything. Especially how the physical heart works, our heart that pumps blood in us, it illustrates a very important thing to us when we think of the invisible heart. How does the visible heart do? The physical heart receives and sends blood to every part of the body. So that as we are going and coming, it's the heart that is pumping and receiving, moving and receiving both air and blood to every part of the body. The day or the time that it ceases, we die. When our heart ceases, we die. So you see that our heart is everything. Though we have hands, head, everything, we have brains, the day the heart ceases, we die, the physical heart. You see, when it works well, we have heat, life, energy throughout the whole body. The whole body is able to function, because the heart is, also functioning. It is the same with the power of the invisible heart. The invisible heart drives the movement of thoughts, desires, aims, and affections of a person. Our inner energy, that drives our thoughts, what we think about, what we desire, what our aims are, what our loves and desires, our affections are, this is also the center of our being. And how it works is everything. Also, the right use of the inner heart, the invisible heart, dignifies a person. How a person, applies his heart to things makes him, a person who can be respected or not. How do we call a fool? Is it because he's just doing it because that's why he's a fool? No, it's his heart. A mad person, why is the person a mad? It's in his heart and his mind. His inner being is not working proper. So he's also acting improperly. So that is it. So the case will be a kwasia. And yes, I chose a kwasia. Now kuma, na green a piano more in Jumano. I say, so it is the heart, the inner power that moves us, is a great thing that As the Bible tells us again in Proverbs 4:23, say that what, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But how careless people do because of sin. We are careless about what comes into our heart, what comes to our mind, what we entertain, and at the end of the day, it moves us to do things we ought not to do. We sit down and regret because we're careless of how we manage our heart. Also, it is within the heart that both moral and spiritual things are developed. Not just our normal secular things, but moral and spiritual things are developed in the heart. It is acts in the heart. Yakume muna, say ye bay idea chini, and I say if you put any brano, any benyan kita who did be a besu in ya, if you have money, the horn at a shaft here, say yet meet Nathan or what, a horn at the to me if you back. It is with the heart that we are able to know God. How can we know God? God cannot be seen. Our heart is the eyes we see God. The old preachers would say, faith in the heart is the eyes that sees God. So is it within the heart that faith can be had? So if our heart is not well, you cannot be hide the faith to see God, to know Him and what He has for us. To know God is love for needy sinners through the gospel. It's only seen through the heart. It is the heart that perceives the gospel. It is the heart that hears. The ears hear, it goes into the heart, and it's the heart that's able to develop that love for the Savior who died for sinners. It's the heart that can see that, oh, I'm a sinner. My sins have really brought me to a state where I am under the justice of God. If our hearts are not acting right, we can never come to this conclusion. So our heart is really, really important part of us. It is from the heart that we are able to know God's fear and how we can worship Him in reverence. You know, most of the time people will think, oh, people are not worship right. They don't obey the commands of God about worship, about morality. It's because their heart is not right with God. If their hearts are right with God, they will look for the word and do it. When people's hearts are not right, they do anything and they think God is happy with. Why are people dancing and moving? Doing things which are not right in the way God has not ordered? It's because they think that what they tend to do, God will accept. No, it's with the heart. If the heart is right, it will seek in God's way, what do I have to do? And when the heart is not right with God, spiritual things are defective. The air can even a bit about that now, for prayer, some young people almost some more acquire and far back. If it's a common answer, some common name young people are and from the inequality, engineer me up for anything I'm an answer. That's our money at a year on your minimum. And I think I'm here for a name share. So we see even repentance of sin. If we are not, our heart is not put in the right shape, we can never repent. We shall always do shallow repentance because we are not able to really see the deception in our heart where some sins are hidden. And as I said, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ springs from the heart. And if the heart is not right, faith, we can never have faith. Then how can we be saved without faith? So you see, the heart is really a great thing. As we are told in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's with the heart that we are able to receive the righteousness which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I have commanded you to me in Jesus to train in now. Or Thomas in Calvary, no. So you have commanded me to be doing a conversation. So you see, people cannot be saved if their hearts are not right with God. If their hearts are not right as to the way God wants it to be. So you see, the heart is very important. So my next thing, what implies in giving the heart to the Lord? Well, the verse tells us, my son, give me thine heart. And what does it imply to give the heart to the Lord? As we have described how the heart works, and how it is very important, even in our actions and motives and whatever we do. What implies in giving the heart to the Lord? The first thing that it implies that the human heart, when unrenewed, is not obedient to God. Why is God calling us to give him our heart? It's because when it is not changed, when it is not given a new energy, it cannot obey God. Why? Because of sin. When Adam sinned, the heart always asked. You know, Adam ran when God was calling, he was running. It was his heart. He perceived his guilt. Remember when Cain also sinned, it was his heart. He perceived his guilt. And Adam ran away because his heart has left his God that he loved. Then he can say, yeah, dear my Iradino. Yeah, actually said, yeah, my whom he said, Sakuman and Sasaya, and to me, Saint Yakupon, and to me, and Bun, and Brand, who wants to my Yakupon. A sinner by his thinking, desires, and actions prove that his heart is not submissive to God. The boy in his oil one year, or patches there, and Akumano, and Saint Yakupon, and Penny Yakupon asked. How did this command in 1 John 2:15? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This command, command is always snubbed and mocked by men who claim to be Christians. Why? It is because their hearts are not changed. They claim to be Christians, but they cannot see simplicity of God's word, not to love the world, not to live for the world. Many who are calling themselves Christians today are living no different from the world. You can't see the difference. Why? Because their hearts are not changed. They just call the Christian name upon themselves. Their conversation, their priorities in life is no different from the worldly. And yet they claim to be Christians because their heart is not changed. The American said, the boy in the basement all green, now come at door, then in your mouth, and like she said, now on person, now come at shame and cook home. I see. Now, Mr. Sir, verse 1 John 2:15. I shall say, my own do we ask it, and I know my own we ask it. That's what we ask it, a giant door any mono. And then I pray a brown, so make you so poor. I almost saw me and cook on golf, and to start me, I'm over every, I'm on the 20. If you said, then if you saw my commando, and society, a thing on their form also. Because it's a command of God. And all those God who make his people, he gives them the heart that they will be able to obey him. He changes the heart. Else we can't be one with God. Amos tells us, in the prophet Amos tells us, that how can they two people agree? How can two people move together except they agree? And how can you agree with God if your heart is against his command? So that is how it is. People are not able to really obey. Sometimes we wonder, oh, why people are Christianity is not doing well these days and all that. And then last week also I read a news, is it that in the UK, so those who call themselves Christian were the larger part. Now, less than half of the population are really, they say they are Christian. Less than half are Christian. That means more than half are non-Christians. They have other religious views. And as people were asking themselves, because of that, they should take the part of the constitution which says that the public school should have worship in the morning and have religion. They should take it out because most of the population are not Christians again. You see how it has gone? In the past, many people who claimed to be Christians were not real Christians. So now they just abandon it. And now they want to throw away the Bible from their schools. You see how far it goes? When their heart is not right with God and people claim to be Christians, they deceive themselves. They live according to their own simple lifestyles and just have the name of Christ. So when the Lord said, my son, give me thy heart, it's a very important thing. If we will know anything from God, then our heart must be given to him. Our heart must be submissive to him. We are also told in the Bible that because the sinner's heart, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you see, when people are disobedient to whatever the Bible says, or they obey some and leave some, we see that they are in enmity with God. They cannot submit their heart, their minds to the laws of God. That's how it means. When people cannot really love God and see his ways as pleasant and observe it and strive to be able to live for the Lord, it's because their hearts are not changed. Their hearts are not for him. A sinner's heart dislikes the absolute authority of God as a creator and a benefactor whose laws must control his life. The boy in Nakumano, a full star as a minister, and who for you'll be yourself, or you'll be your new rap, Napra Bumia, or any so or no, or who is on or born, or no sooner be a Napra Bumu, Paswana said you might be away to me at the piano, or no, dear man, just so I didn't share Yahoo. That's what the knowledge of God does. If we are able to know God as He is, we will know Him as our Maker. And also, you know him that he has everything we have in life, whatever we are, is from him. And that will move our hearts to be grateful to him so that we are willing to bow down to Him. That's what it means to know God. To know God is that to know Him as your Maker, and that to know Him that all the blessings that you have in life are from Him, and what are my responsibility to Him? To love Him, to obey Him. Until we know God this way, we don't know God. It gets an idea in our mind. If we are not willing to submit our desires, our ambition, our hopes under Him, we are not His servants. We are not. That's what it is. So the sinner dislikes this absolute authority. Okay, we want God to have partial control. I can see God blesses me. Okay, let me give this portion of my heart and life to Him, and let me maintain a portion of my life. No. He says, my son, give me thy heart. A sinner hates God's infinite purity and holiness, since the sinner loves to sin. The sinner doesn't love God because he loves to sin. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And how can a sinner love sin? If I love my sin, how can I love the one who hates sin? It's not possible. So you see, that is why it's necessary for us to give Him our heart. And we'll go on and see what He will do to our heart. You see, we don't just give Him our heart, He will do something to us so that we are able to submit to Him and know Him and love Him and worship Him as we ought to. A sinner also sees God's justice as severe, since He declares punishment for every unrepentant sinner. God doesn't declare punishment for just a sinner, but the unrepentant. God is very merciful. All the warnings in the Bible are to those who not repent. It's not to just a sinner. Remember when Adam sinned, God just punished, but God did not crush him out. God gave him a way that he can come back to Him. God is a merciful God, you know. Yankupon, boni ni onpe yankupon na ne pepe ye se boni biya yankupon boni ni a on sakana yankupon e deni nothing but human. It is the boni pe. Remember, let's remember even Cain. Cain is a perfect example in Genesis 4:13. Look at. After John has killed Cain has killed his brother Abel, and you have killed somebody, a murderer. But look at what he said about the justice of God. When God has called and called curse on him more, so that he will become like a vagabond on earth, look at what he said. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You have killed your brother, but you are not being killed. But yes, you have been given a partial life to live. And you say, my punishment is harder than I can bear. Yet you killed Abel, who have done nothing to you. That is how sinners see God. They can sin their lives and do whatever they please. And yet when they see that God is just and God must punish them, they say, oh, God is unfair. Or when their lifestyle has ended them in a kind of calamity, an illness, or maybe they couldn't do well because maybe they have they entered into so many kind of things, or anything that comes with maybe their life has led them to a kind of troubles of life, then they become bitter against God. They will not sit down and say, oh, I have brought this to myself, and seek mercy from God to help them. If they will not repent, they will rather sit down and blame God that God has not dealt well with them. Anyone who claims that God has never dealt well with him or her is a great sinner, like as we see Cain has done. They don't like God's justice. They accuse God of injustice. And that is what atheists do. See, they don't care about God. And they will say, oh, if there's any God, why there's injustice in the world? Then they forget what men have done to cause the misery in this world. Even today, the actions of people are causing troubles in life. And when the troubles come, they will say, oh, if there's God, why is this? Why is that? We have caused it. And yes, when the trouble comes, we accuse God of injustice. This is a bad heart. Because this heart is looking at things by his own understanding. It doesn't want to see things in the way God, his maker, wants him to see. Because his heart is for him. He decides what to think. So let us know, always when we think of sinners, we must also examine our own selves. We should look deep in our hearts. We shouldn't think so far. I remember when we were young, I had a friend, he's been there. When there's a calamity, we hear somebody has murdered somebody, or there's a disaster, and it's maybe in the town that we are, say, oh, this thing we used to hear far away, why is it closer? And I realized that life calamities You shouldn't think that others should suffer calamities. We also can suffer calamities. But he's thought that, for us, calamity should be so far from us. It's the same way we also we think of sin. And what sin is causing to people, you look into deep into your heart. Is my heart right with God? And the kind of religion I'm giving, is it from my heart? Because no matter how religious you are, if your heart is not submissive to the commands of the Lord, count yourself a sinner. It doesn't matter you can be a preacher, you can be just an ordinary church member, whatever you do, if your heart is not for the Lord, you are still in your sinful state. It doesn't matter whatever understanding of scripture you may have, you can say, if your heart is not right, you have not given your heart to the Lord, you are still a sinner. Because God doesn't accept those who have not given him their heart. So the second implication of giving a heart to the Lord also implies that it implies a manifestation of God's kindness. God calling us to give me, it's a call from him. Say, my son, give me thy heart. It's a call from God the Almighty, the Lord of all creation. What does it imply? It implies a manifestation of his kindness. For remember, the angels fell before humans fell. Remember? The devil and they fell. But why did not God call them to change their hearts? Why did not God call the angels that they should come? Satan and his coda, they should bring. No, God never called them. There's no opportunity for them to be saved. They are doomed forever. But we, God says, we should give him his heart. He has given opportunity for us to come back to him. The angels are doomed for eternal damnation. And sinners who are not repentant will also be damned with the angels that are doomed. But those who repent, there's a kindness. This is a great kindness. Because it is for our own good. God doesn't need us for anything. Why? Because God wants to repair the damages that sin has caused into our hearts. Then thing I hope one friend say every Akuma man of said, so that we'll turn our heart to him as our creator, we'll see him as our God who has made us. We'll see him as the one who has blessed us with all things in life. And we'll see that we have to be gracious and grateful to him. And live under him, because he will also judge us. And to turn our heart on the vain and unsatisfying things of the earth. The things that people have set their heart to see. That they run away from God. When our hearts are repaired, when our hearts are changed, we're able to see him. And live the things of earth and see him as our God. Sin has really ruined the human heart. Sin has really brought a great harm to the human heart, so that the human heart cannot see God. It only see him as unjust. Until it is really fixed, until sin is taken away, man will never see God as he is. God is absolutely perfect, and he desires nothing for his own benefit. God doesn't desire a heart so that he become greater. No, he doesn't need that. God is always perfect. His greatness is perfect. He doesn't need us so that if we come and be part of the angels who worship, no, God doesn't need that. He doesn't add anything to him. His request for our heart, as I said, is out of pure kindness. It is love that moved him to make this appeal to us. When he saw our sinful hearts are leading us away from him. God, when God created, God had not started to create anything. He was, all his attributes were perfect. He was almighty, he was all wise, he was everything. Before he created anything, he was still the same. So we bringing our heart to him doesn't change him. It rather changes us and makes us right with him. Because he saw us in Romans 3:11-12. Look at how sin has done unto us. The Bible tells us, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. This includes the Israelites who even had the law of God, and our ancestors, and our soul who never had the law of God. So you see, it doesn't matter whether we come to worship him or not. It doesn't matter whether we don't worship him or not. If our heart is not for him, All these things doesn't matter. Whether we have God's word, whether we were brought up from a Christian home, whether we our parents try to teach us the word of God. If our hearts are not for God, we don't know Him. He doesn't have anything to us. Our heart is without understanding. We don't seek Him. Daily we wake up, our life on earth is what has taken up our mind. We don't even care about His worship. We don't even care that there's any God. Because our heart has led us out. They are all gone out of the way. They have all become unprofitable. God created the world and gave to Adam that he should manage it and care for it. Now man has abused the earth because our heart is not right with God. Man has made the earth a desert place to live because our heart is not right with God. What about a few people gather for something? Then you see the craftiness of human heart. Deception, oppression, because our heart is not right. You see how we have brought into us, but if our heart were right, like whatever people gather, there will be sincerity, there will be love and joy. But it's not so. Even when you look at politics, what happens there? Wherever there is something people to gain, then you see the deception because men have turned from God. We have all become unprofitable. Even to this earth, He has given us. When God looks at how the sinner's heart is driving him to eternal doom, when He knows that no one also has remedy for our sins, He shows us kindness. God saw that, yeah, we have sinned against Him, but nobody can give us that remedy to change our heart. So He calls us to bring our heart to Him. Else, at the end, every sinner must face justice. See, I'm praying, come on, my uncle, come on, no one's son, my brother, boy, we're here, and I said, I'm wrestling at him over. Or see, he will judge us according to His law, because we also did not respond when He called us to give Him His heart. So He also demands our hearts. So that what? He will drive away our ignorance, unbelief. When our hearts are not changed, when we hear His word, it's just moving like you put water in your mouth and you are just wobbling it. That's what is happening. Some people, is it true? Can I trust God? But until God has really done, changed our hearts and given us a new energy, our hearts doesn't even trust in God. That's why we sin. We sin because we think God's word are not to be trusted. That's what Satan brought to Eve. That has God said that, oh no, you will not die. That's what happens. What the Bible says, repent of sin. Oh, can I even repent? There are so many sins in my life. Can I even repent? You doubt that it's possible for repentance to happen? No. God wants to change that. He wants to put those things right and give us understanding in our heart. So that we'll be able to delight in Him. You cannot love God because you can't understand Him. How can you love someone that you don't understand? Unless God changes your heart. Then He calls us so that out of His kindness, He will really give us the blessings of cleansing by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross. So that Love of sin is in our heart until it is cleansed. Until God has done this cleansing work by the blood of Christ, then sin, the love of sin, can never be taken away. You like try everything. You can never do away. You try and do away with some sins, but some sins will still remain. The love of sin. It's not that a believer can never sin, but then the love to sin and to enjoy it and stay in it as it controls your life. That's what we are talking about. And this call to come, this request is also founded on the ground of propriety, a ground of ownership. God has a right to demand our hearts. He has a right. Why? Because we are not our own. He made us. And He has a right to demand in Psalm 103, we are told, Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Let all know that God demands our hearts. He's not coming to intrude into our privacy or our independence. He's coming to take that which belongs to Him. He set the heart in the first one He created. He gave Adam an upright heart to see Him and to follow Him. And now the heart has been turned because of sin. But He said, now give Him the heart. It is His own. It must be given back to Him. But to give your heart to self, fleshly lust, is to abuse and steal away what belongs to God. If you do not give your heart to God, you are stealing it away. It belongs to Him. This heart ought to adore and have right affection towards Him. And if you steal it away to live according to your fleshly life, lust and abuse it, you are stealing your heart from Him. He is your maker, and we ought to give Him that. And that's what we do every sinner does, stealing our life from God. Living our life apart from God is stealing, because He gave us life, and He owns it. He takes it away anytime He pleases. And the little time that has been given to you, you are abusing it. How can it be? No, we have to give it to Him. Because whatever sinful lifestyle we will live, what will it profit us? As the Savior said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Our profit, our gain, is told us in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The life of sin leads to death. All that you can live without God, all that you can do without God, is death. It leads you to death. Death in this life is separated from a life of God, and eternal death, where you are totally down with the angels that are waiting. Angels that have been damned for eternity to suffer in eternal hell. Let us know that we are living souls who are destined, who have been destined for eternity. You know what I'm saying? Yet how many people are careless? As if the life ends in the grave. Nipa a prayer and you say something. Nipa, hey Nipa, or you catch us before. Say you will pray better than you. Then we will Nipa face or we will know. Who and sign? There's what judgment. There's what accountability. There are rewards. And what will you have for what you have done? Whatever life you live, if it is not for God, it's death. For the wages of sin is death. A life of sin leads to death. Yet people are dying daily, perishing without a life of God with them, without giving their heart to God, without knowing him, his forgiveness, his fellowship, and his glory. They don't know where they are going, and yet they're careless. You go to the streets, you tell people, you know there's going to be judgment. Oh yes, I know. And that is all. What are you doing about it? Oh, the best person can tell, I'm trying, I'm doing something. No! The Bible says, give me your heart. That's what the Lord is saying. It says, my son, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. So I come to the last part, almost the last part of my work. And the next thing we are thinking about is that, why is it hard for many to yield their heart to the Lord? You know, the command is there. There are so many verses in the Bible that calls us to come to God. But why is it hard that people are not willing, even those who seem to come to His worship, they are not willing to give their heart to Him? The Bible tells us. The inability to yield their heart is out of willfulness on our part. It's a deliberate act. It is not that people cannot give their heart and submit to the Lord, where they will know Him and love Him and know His ways. Rather, they desire not to do so. See, somebody will tell you, oh, I've tried to repent, I've tried to know the Lord, and the Lord, I've been praying, the Lord has not known me. No, the Lord knows our heart than us. And He knows whether we are sincere or not. Look how the Lord Jesus Christ told the Jews. He said that in John 5:40, He said that, but ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They will not come. He told them His life, they should believe in Him. And they rejected Him. He said that, ye will not come to me. Well, so, Jesus will catch you said, you will not come. There's life. But He loves sin. Sin is taking control of your heart. And again, he says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Or see, when he said, This is the answer. Man will not come. People will not come to the Lord because they love sin. Simple. It might not be a big sin like a murder or robbery. No. Whatever sin it is, that lies hidden in your bosom. Whatever love of sin, maybe your sin doesn't even do harm to anybody. Yes, it's against God.
And until you have come to him with that hand and tell him, Lord, I can't do with this and help me. Help my unbelief and take away my sin and grant that the blood of that son wash me from this sin. Until every sin has been brought, your sincerity has come before him. You are hidden from this light, the light of the world that is able to bring life. As a son with many today, they will not give their heart to Jesus because they love their sinful lifestyle. They love their way of life and they hate. They would rather choose to give their heart to chase after money, possessions, world pleasures, greed, lies, foolish jokes, and many things will fill people's mind every day. And yet, they are dying to help. People don't care. They wake up, they live their life, being willing to share any kind of thing, triviality, and yet they are dying each and every day. Each and every day we have a day and hour. We are closer to our grave. And have you given your heart to him? Some also will not come to Jesus, but craft their own religion and their own God. That's one of the dangerous parts. They will not come, but they will craft their own religion. Their God excuses their sin, demands no repentance from sin, demands no surrendering of their heart to Christ, but just a notion of it. Oh, okay, I know God has died, it's in my head. At least, somehow, it keeps me from some sin. At least, I have a religion. That's their God. Their God, But that's not what it is. And you know, those who have religion without their heart for the Lord, they trust in their own righteousness and think that somehow God will accept their goodies without their heart. Whatever you do without your heart, if your heart is given to anything else, God wouldn't want that. God doesn't know that. Like that. The Lord said, Lord, give me thy heart. Give me your heart. The Lord demands not a partial heart, but the whole. He demands the whole heart. In Deuteronomy 6:5, we are told, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, not a part of thy heart, not a portion of thy heart, not a part of what you do, but your whole heart. Thou shalt love. And how can you love God with your own heart? Until there's a heart change. Until you have come and pleased to the Lord to help you. You cannot. You cannot totally give your heart to him. Until you come, he himself will help you to change your heart. So it must be all or none. And you know, when we give the heart to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes after we give our heart to the Lord. He forgives our sin, cleanses it with the blood of Christ, and then the Holy Spirit will come and lives in the heart and now regulates the affections, the aim, the rhythm, the thoughts, every motives of our life. The Holy Spirit will move us. And where will he leave us? Where will he lead us? Holy things, even things of this life, will be sanctified because he is our controller. Say, the conqueror is Christ. Say, the Akuma Maya is Christ. But the Mujati Akuma, who the one in Chaye, the conqueror is Baba Tanya Kumi. Now, okay, then the basic. And no more ever be a thank you ever give you a conqueror in your mouth. But if you say, a year, 2 years, you conqueror. That's how it is. So if there are, and you think that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell with you while you keep your sins there, no, you can't. He's directing you, then you also are moving else. It's not possible. He must have full control of the heart. So coming to my conclusion, my question to you is that, have you also given your heart to the Lord? Have you gone to him and given him? Because he's calling. Also, I call Odu Akuma Ma Iradiana. Or friend, maybe our friend. Also, Odu Akuma Akuma Nwana. Does he have absolute control of your desires, your motives, and actions? That's how we check. Does God own my thoughts, my desires? What all those things I like? Am I able to process it? That it pleases God. All the things I think about, am I able to process it? That it praises God. Until you know him, you can't do that. Until you know him and you have been taught by him to understand even his word, you can't do that. Are you able to say sincerity with all believers? As the Peter and others said in Luke 18:20, they said, "No, we have left all and followed thee." Not just their life work, but their heart, everything is for the Lord. That's what he tells us. We don't leave our work and say, no, our heart, our everything is being given to the Lord. Judas was among the followers of Jesus Christ, but you know, he was a hypocrite. He followed him to the final hours of the way he went to betray him. He was even the one keeping their money. He was a faithful, so-called, if you see him, he was a faithful man. That's what you will see. But he was a hypocrite. As Spurgeon said that, he was an apostle and apostate. It is so. And he followed Jesus Christ for his personal interest. What about you? We say, oh, Judas did not do well. What about you? He didn't do well because his heart was not for the Lord. He had a partial desire. He left some things to become his servant, but he never gave all his heart. Anyone also can be like him. Anyone here can be like him if you don't give all your heart to Jesus to change it. If you do not experience this heart change that must come from the Savior alone, because of his death on the cross, where he applies his blood and cleanses you, he forgives your sin and grants the Holy Spirit. If he has not done that for you, you also want to become like Judas. Yes, I'm a Christian, but I am always doing things against Christ. I'm doing things against his command, because I don't have a right heart toward him. What does he tell us? He says that before the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door. Where? The crucified Savior stands before the entrance of your heart. That's where the gospel you are hearing, that he died for sin. He stands there calling you. He stands at the door of your desires, your motives, and your thoughts. Give him. Submit it to him. Submit your life, your motives, your desires. Ask him, take it, my Lord. Take it. And he will take it. Behold, I stand at the door. He stands at the door of your heart. And he's knocking. Each and every day we hear the word of God. He's knocking, asking us, will you let him come in? And are you willing to receive him and his cleansing power? Are you willing? That's why I said, people cannot come to the Lord, the Savior, because they are not willing. It's out of willfulness. And what? Deliberate act. They wouldn't want to come because they love their sin. But are you willing to receive the Savior and his cleansing power? Look to Jesus now, for we are told he's the one that they pierced when he was dying for sinners like you and I. They pierced him, his blood, the water came out of him. And we see his cleansing power. We see when he was dying for sinners, he had pity on us. He loved us so much to leave his glory above to come and suffer shame. He didn't want to suffer for himself, it's for you and I. And if I know this, I go on sinning. No, you sin against your own soul if you do not come to give him your heart. It is his blood alone that can clean your sinful heart and make it clean. Without he applying the blood to you, there's no cleansing. Come now in repentance and let him have control of your heart. Let not any sin interrupt. Let not any idea of doubt interrupt. For he is calling. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And also we are told, Peter told the day of Pentecost, Peter said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a true fact. Nobody has really truly called him and he was never saved. Every true believer called him at one time in sincerity and they were saved. So are you willing to call on him? That is how we give our heart to him. We call on him. Lord, here is my heart. Take it and change it. I rest my hope on your blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary for sinners like myself. Oh Lord, take it and clean it. I cannot clean my heart. I cannot change myself except the Lord change it. So, the request is indeed reasonable. My son, give me thy heart. It's a reasonable request to every reasonable being God has made. And may the Lord help us that each and every one of us will heed to this call and give our heart to the Lord. Let's pray.